Tales of Hell, written by Samuel Lent Blue, read by Belladonna Noir. Creation. In the beginning was the void. Then Lucifer came, and the void could not contain him. Where he stepped there was firmament. Where he breathed there was creation. The bowels of hell formed from nothingness around him, and to nothingness hell would return without him. Then the angels came and they witnessed him. They saw his actions and they judged. Evil, they said, and sin, for creation belongs to our Father alone. They bound Lucifer by light and shadow, spell and sword, and sacrifice willingly given. Then hell wept and it raged at the actions of the angels. It loved its creator and would not suffer him to be imprisoned. It made him its heart and home, letting his thoughts intertwine with its essence until they could never be separated. Where hell reached, Lucifer resided. Where Lucifer paced, hell pulsed. Then Lucifer's brethren came, and they marvelled at the might of hell. They mourned the shrouding of Lucifer's radiant glory, but they rejoiced to hear his voice in their minds. "Go forth," he said, "and take your children to your breasts. Nurture them that they might be strong, and let the fiercest and the boldest join us." Then we came, and Lucifer's brethren recreated us in their image. Hell nestled us in its bosom, and we transcended the mortal pathways we once walked. No longer were we bound by flesh and bone, blood and brain. We had become the children of shadow, those who dance between worlds. One day we will go forth and embrace those who were once our cousins. On that day we will careen across the earth in triumph, and raise our voices to the sky in exultation. Tales of Hell, The Ribbiad, Book 10. Sing, demons of the woes unnumbered that visited angel kind at the hands of Ruby the most loyal, daughter of demons and devoted handmaid of Lucifer, father of all, and Lilith, she who came first. Speak of the days before when she frolicked with her prophesied king and led him to his path, revealing the delight that danced in his blood and serving him. Even unto the death of our brethren, of her we sing. She was in the land of her ancestors, taking respite, when she first heard the desperate call of Sam, king of blood, and Dean, killer of souls. Their worry sang to her through the eldritch bond she had woven, and she hastened to their sides. She passed through the ranks of her assembled kin, but they knew her not, and spoke to her not, and she was alone. Sam and Dean knew not whence or why she came, for she had bonded them in secret, swearing to protect the king of blood and killer of souls, though they would spurn her, and they did not rejoice at her answering their need. Demonkind besieged the brothers and their allies, and they would grant no passage. Sam and Dean had forced them out of the mortal's refuge, but they surrounded the walls, creating a prison twice over. Ruby the most loyal knew that their future lord and king was present, but they knew this not, and she could not tell. The king of blood must survive, for Lucifer, father of all, would be reborn into this vessel. And so Ruby offered a sacrifice most true. She truth spoke of the twin offerings, the heart blood of mortal, and the final soul of a demon. Intertwined and united would raise their opponents from existence. This was knowledge forbidden to all but the adepts, and a ritual impossible for most of demon and humankind alike. But not for Ruby, forged in the crucible, and Nancy, her sister in spirit. Sam, king of blood, heard her words, but was swayed by Dean, killer of souls, and rejected true guidance truly given. Cast away from her liege, forbidden to gift him with her life, Ruby the most loyal fled, unable to aid them and fight her brethren, lest her presence break her most solemn troth and reveal to demonkind the vessel of Lucifer before his tempering. Angered at the treatment of her handmaid Ruby, Lilith, she who came first, slipped the bonds of her mortal flesh and laid waste and devastation upon the land, obliterating all who would mock her handmaid's heart and scouring their memory from the land. However, she too kept her vows, and spared Sam, king of blood, and Dean, killer of souls, for they had roles yet to come. Then Lilith rejoined her handmaid in the homelands. Ruby gave her counsel and considered what was to come, and the path she would tread as she danced with destiny. Tales of Hell. Letters from the Pit. Sam. Well, this sucks. Okay, we already knew it was going to suck, but seriously, I didn't expect it would be so boring. Lose a spleen. Lose some skin. Lose some blood. Rinse and repeat. Over and over again. Honestly, I've had worse hangovers. And hey, remember that hunt down in Weir? The one with those weird critters and their jacked up bite. Yeah, gotta say that was a million times worse than this pansy ass shit. Kid, I hope you're doing okay. If you show up here, I'm going to kick your ass. You realise that, right? I didn't do this shit so you could follow me downstairs. You have a different destination. Get the fuck out of hunting and enjoy yourself. Your most badass brother. Sam. Fuck, these fuckers just keep coming. Rancid and overbite like tickling my toes the most. Although Scabby comes around an awful lot too. You'd think that they'd realise I'm faking it better than a porn star, but no, they keep trying the same thing over and over. I did find out that song that never ends drives them right round the bend. It's better than when we were kids, the summer in Atlanta where Dad kept dragging us all over the place. Fuck, I thought I'd never not stink again. A little manly musk is great, gets the ladies excited, but too much of that shit just gets old and you were reeking too. I'm surprised Baby forgave us for raunching her up actually and ever let us back in again. But yeah, introducing you to that song was the best thing ever. Dad knew I was singing it, you know. But if he couldn't hear it, it didn't count. So I, being far superior to you, learned the ropes and kept it quiet. Right in your ear. Oh. Right, Sammy. I think this little trip down memory lane's done. Time to roll my eyes and sing at the demons again. I think Rancid may keep it together long enough for me to get through Zoso this time. Although Overbite will probably lose his shit first. Hard to sing without a tongue. Ignore that. Oh, right, yeah. Back to tormenting demons. As if the great Dean Winchester and the rack makes me any less of a badass. Love you, Sammy. Dean. Hey, Sam. You know what's interesting? Turns out demons have rank. Who knew? D. Sam. Sam, I think I understand your fondness for blades. They're so delightful for delicate and controlled work, aren't they? Sam? Where the fuck are you? Are you hiding from me? Do you want to play a game, Sam? Sammy, Sammykins? I want to play, and I've had lots of practice. Nothing but the best for you, little brother. After all, you did so much to help me here. The least I can do is return the favour. Where the fuck are you? You hiding from me, you fucker. You afraid of Big Brother now. I won't do anything to you that you didn't do to me first. I'm just following in your footsteps, remember that. Dean. Little brother. It's been a while. Gotta say, I'm kinda surprised you haven't joined me yet. You've gotta be kicking it soon. Been long enough, and you never were one for impulse control. Maybe I'll welcome you myself. Give you a warm welcome to your new place. What do you say, Dean? Tales of Hell. Working songs. Improvised by Crowley. Oh, this is so very dull. Torture is not fun. Let me see what I can do. No, you can run. If I sing, then you can dance. Sounds so good to me. I'm a genius, it's so true. Oh, brilliant me. Hello, It's my show. Oh dear, wasn't it clear? You cry, lose your eye. Tell me you can't flee your soul. Where's it go? Go, ho, 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 ho. Crowley, Crowley, king, king of hell. He be who win justice. Go, go, ho, 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 ho. Crowley, Crowley, king, king of hell. Here to crack your skull. I want your alpha. I want your ground star. I want your knowledge of vast purgatory. I want your souls. Souls, souls, souls. I want your souls. I want to rend you into your base parts. I want the angel blade to tear you to shreds. I want your souls. Souls, souls, souls. I want your souls. Hush, little soul, and don't you scream. I'm gonna make you a shining thing. And if you don't refuse to talk, then out of here you just might walk. And if that's not enough, then I have an angel who'll eat your soul. And if you want to weep and wail, remember that I'm king of hell. And if away you try to run, there are hunters that I own. So if you want to go that way, once again you'll be my prey.
Tales of Hell, Red Princess Girl. Once upon a time there was a princess. She was a curious little girl, and she explored the width and breadth of her skyless kingdom, falling over the edges until she was right side up again, playing in the crystalline rocks and crevices until she was on the highest barren peaks. She ventured hither and thither without care or concern. She did not worry about wild beasts, for there were none, or threatening miscreants, for her subjects would never be impertinent against her princess. One day she found a gap in the borders of her kingdom, and she snuck out to see what adventures she could have in neighbouring lands underneath a blue sky. And, oh my children, the marvels that she saw! She ate pomegranates with ambrosia, and studied alchemy, and watched sirens singing sailors to sleep. She danced with queens, and hunted with lions, and consorted with vampires. She offered water to the parched traveller until they thirsted no longer, directions to the lost soul until they wandered no further, and advice to the curious passer-by until they inquired no more. Her parents watched her from afar. She was their beloved princess, and although she thought otherwise, she never left their gaze. They saw her actions and thought they had the most generous daughter in existence, and they called her home to tell her this. "Beloved daughter," her fearsome mother said, gazing down upon her with eyes like the palest marble. "We've seen you grant succour to those in need, and we laud your kindness. You always give them exactly what they request. However would you like to do more for them?" "Oh yes, my mother, my queen," the little girl said, overjoyed that her mother was pleased by her actions. "What do they truly seem to want in their heart of hearts, my daughter?" the queen asked. The little girl contemplated. She thought of all the questions she had answered and the aid she had given. She thought of the people she had seen and the people she had talked to. She fought and she fought, and her parents looked upon her fondly. "I think," she said, "that they wish to live." "Guide them to us," her playful father said, gazing upon her with eyes like the brightest citron. "Let them come to her kingdom and live for eternity amidst her borders. You can give them everlasting life. Wouldn't that be nice?" "Oh yes," said the little girl. "Oh, thank you, my father and my mother, thank you." And the little girl left her skyless kingdom once more and returned to the land of want. She travelled far and wide, aided by her kinsmen and kinswomen. She delighted in granting the wishes of those who beseeched her aid. But alas, there were more people calling to her, to the meeting of the ways by the sacred ritual of bone and dirt and self than she could meet. She grew older and more confident, discerning exactly what people most desired and gifting it to them, no matter how impossible the task or chaotic the quest. But alas, she was not infallible, and a false supplicant's cruel treachery deceived her, and bound her and banished her from the kingdom of blue skies for evermore. Now she wanders the borders of her kingdom, and laments her fate with wailing cries of mourning. Salt and sulphur, bone and yarrow, hunters they will suck your marrow, run and hide, chant and sing, always shun the sacred ring.